Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get the thoughts of 13WAM sports director Mike Catalana on last night's disappointing appearance by the Buffalo Bills. In Orchard Park against the Kansas City Chiefs. Mike, how you holding up today?
Good. Disappointing is a really good word. I feel like we sort of got cheated out of the game I wanted to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, like, I wanted to see Allen let it go. I wanted to see Mahomes play last night. I'm not sure who that guy was in the backfield for Kansas City handing off the whole game. But, you know, it worked for them. That's a very un-Andy Reid-like game plan. And, you know, we sort of got a watered down with the rain, watered down version of what I thought was going to be a great game. And it was kind of, honestly, I thought it was kind of a boring game.
Certainly the Bills had their problems on the defensive side, but if we could start on the offense, I think it's concerning to me, Mike, that, okay, Tennessee showed, but look, it worked, all right. Did they learn anything from that? Because to me, the Chiefs' defense didn't do anything remarkable last night, and Josh Allen had his worst game in what, over a year, we could say? Your thoughts on what you saw on Allen last night?
Look, I didn't think Allen was bad in the Titans game. I thought, you know, they struggled in many ways in that game, and he didn't have John Brown, and even if he had him last night, he didn't look the same. And maybe a little in that Titans game, he sort of forced it to Diggs. But I didn't think Josh Allen was the problem in that game. They had a lot of other issues in that game. Last night, early on, you know, I know everybody's talking about the weather. It was like misty rain the whole time. I did not think the weather was a big factor. I mean, he missed some open guys, and it did remind you of sort of like the old Josh as we come on national TV, which a lot of people want to see because it confirms their narrative. I just thought he had a bad night last night and compounded by the fact that they didn't have the ball very much. We talk about complementary football. I said they played complementary football. The defense stunk and didn't give it to the offense, and the offense stunk and gave it right back to the defense. So it didn't work the way they wanted. But you know what I mean? Like, he did have limited chances. And I wasn't all that encouraged about the late drive, even though it got him sort of still in the game. I thought Kansas City went to that prevent defense, and the Bills picked it apart. So, not a good night for Josh. I know it's the Super Bowl champ, but... there's concerns on both sides of the ball.
Mike, I want to stay on the offensive side of the ball and talk for a little bit about the inability to run block for the Bills running backs. And Devin Singletary, according to Next Gen Stats, has faced 8 or greater in the box on league low 1.4% of his rushes for just a measly 3.8 yards per carry. Last year, same stat, the league average was 5.1 yards per carry against a percentage of 8-plus man boxes. Devin Singletary, is it just a matter of him not finding the holes aren't there? I mean, they're not getting 8-man boxes for the run game. They should be doing better in the run game than they've been doing, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so, and it does hurt. I mean, look at the difference between a year ago when you had Feliciano and Quentin Spain, and they're hoping both of them come back, my guess would be, especially now with Cody Ford banged up. So they're not really getting a push. you know what he needs? He needs to run against the Bills defense. And I think he would gain yards. He just doesn't look like he's confident in picking the holes and going. He does still, like, you'll see him make a really good move, puts his foot in the ground, make a move to get 3 yards. Like, he is not finding space. And I don't think they're opening up the holes. I think it's a combination of things. Does it help if you're throwing the ball well? Yeah, because I think the more Allen gets it going, spread out the defense a little bit, I think they can get Singletary going. But it's a concern. Hey, you know, nobody's kidding themselves. They were looking for Le'Veon Bell, and then the Chiefs got him. Like, they know they need some help in the running game, whether it's the player or the line, but it definitely is a factor, as you saw last night.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, them going after Bell the way they did is an indictment of what they have already in that room. And when you're talking about two young running backs in Moss and Singletary, I mean, does that hurt them and their prospects for the rest of the season?
I still think they'll go after another running back. You know, there's going to be some teams making some moves, I think. And I think if it's the right one, they'll make it. Now, part of it is, we also have to understand, a player of Le'Veon Bell's talent pops out there in the open market in the middle of the year like this, so you're not giving up draft picks, you're signing him, he's already getting most of his salary from the... I mean, that's an enticing thing to take a run at a guy like that. So there's one thing of that, and then there's another thing of giving up assets for a guy, and other than some money. But I still think they're going to do that because they need more out of the run game. I mean, the run game is basically what? Josh Allen, right? When Allen runs, they make some plays, you know, in the run game. When it's not Allen, they don't. So, you know, we still have some time until the trade deadline. There'll be some players out there probably available, and I will not be surprised if Brandon Bean makes a move. It may not seem like much, but somebody to give them a little bit more in that run game. Maybe a little more straight ahead runner, maybe the one cut guy that gets to the hole a little quicker. I don't know if that's what the difference will be.
13 WHAM's Mike Catalana, as we're talking Bills Chiefs and looking ahead to the Jets game. Now on the other side of the ball, Mike, I mean, is this fixable on the defensive line, or just did we see everything go south for virtually everybody on this line? I look at Jerry Hughes, yet to have a sack. Trent Murphy, inactive. Harrison Phillips, inactive. A.J. Epineza, okay, not making plays just yet. Cox, they tried. That didn't work out. And Mike, and by the way, and Danger brought this up earlier, Star Lotulelei, maybe that was actually a bigger loss, him opting out, than any of us realized.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they weren't always great against the run last year either and gave up some big chunks. And certainly in 17, they were a bad team in 18, I mean, where they, you know, gave up more on the ground with Star out there. I mean, you can say it's scheme, you can say it's individual. Last night was, honestly, I think it was an odd mix of, you know, it was the fear of Mahomes. And that's what surprised me. What I've liked about this team, especially offensively, is that they've dictated to the other team what they're going to do. And I thought it was an odd way for Sean McDermott to play it last night, not just because he's concerned about his defense and didn't want to give up those big plays in the passing game and Trey White coming back and missing corners and all that kind of stuff, and no Milano out there to cover. But it was more like they were afraid of the Chiefs and tried to play it where they kept the score. Now, they kept the score relatively low, you know, defensively, right? The Chiefs didn't light them up for 40. But didn't you get the feeling the whole time, like, if the Chiefs needed to open it up, they would have been able to get the passing game going?
Yes.
That's the way I felt. It wasn't like they shut down the passing game and the Chiefs reverted to the run and it worked for them. So that was more of an indictment on what the offense could do. And then the offense fell into that mode. So it is, and honestly, they didn't have a lot of spark. And somebody asked me, you know, they said, well, what if there was a crowd in the stands? I said, well, they would have been booing at a certain point because they couldn't stop them. So I do think it's a combination of things. Now, look, I am not sitting here saying the sky is falling, this team stinks. But what I'm telling people is you did play, you know, they're like, you lost to two of the best teams. That's true. But it's an early litmus test on this team. And they did not pass at all. They got handled by the Titans. And I thought they got handled last night by the Chiefs. And that's what you're judging them on now, right? 4-0. beat some teams. Obviously, the Raiders look pretty good. The Dolphins have been pretty good, so those wins look a little better, the Rams. But when they played the two of the best teams outside of maybe the Steelers in the AFC, they got pushed around. And so there is reason for concern. Now, you got the Jets Sunday, you know? So go get healthy, go beat up the Jets, get the win, and then it's a huge game against New England. And if you can get to 6-2 and 4-0 in the division, that's great because that puts you in a good spot. But it is concerning the way they played these last 2 weeks.
Well, I think, you know, I say it all the time, the secret to happiness in life is managing expectations. And what this team seems to show us more times than not is they're good enough to beat the bad teams in the league, and they do that fairly, you know, commonly. It's a common thing for them to do. But against the more elite teams, which I think changes in the week, you know, in the league week to week, but, you know, against teams, let's just say playoff teams, this team falls flat. And until they get there, to me, it's like, all right, well, are they like the Andy Dalton era Cincinnati Bengals who, you know, will find their way into the postseason every now and then? Or are they a team that can actually legitimately be considered elite at some point, given the talent that they have right now, Mike?
Well, here's the good news. And it's good news and bad news. Normally, basically, like last year, they didn't play that many elite teams. They play the Patriots, they lose to them twice a year, right? That's kind of the way it went.
Yeah.
And even when they played normally good teams like Pittsburgh, you know, you had Duck Hodges at quarterback. Oh, well, this year they're going to get them all. I mean, right? I mean, you look at what the schedule still has left on them. I watched the Cardinals last night. That's going to be a real hassle out there. When Garoppolo's playing, you got the 49ers, let alone Russell Wilson coming to town and Ben Roethlisberger coming to town. So they are going to get multiple opportunities to play against quality teams and quality quarterbacks and to be able to prove where they are. It's part of the reason why, you know, I picked them to go 11-5 this year because in part I thought they'd be better, but because of the schedule. So, and I think that's still very attainable. But to your point about figuring out the schedule and figuring out playing against the best teams, you're right. I mean, McDermott's record is not good in that way, as he's been building this team. And it's not the loss. You can lose. You know, it's like, you know, like watching the Cowboys last night. It's like, yeah, you can lose. You're banged up. I get it. But there's losing, and then there's getting run over. Now, the Bills were not like the Cowboys were last night, so don't get me on that. But I just didn't feel like that game was there for them last night. Even when it looked like they picked up the fumble and had a chance to take the lead, it sort of seemed like, oh, wow, they're only down 6. Like, how did that happen? So, to your point, yeah, they have not shown the ability to do that. And the second half of the year, they're going to have chances to do it. And it will be a change in narrative if they show they can do that against the best team.
13 Wham's Mike Catalano, our guest. There's no way they lose to the Jets, right,
no,
Mike?
No. The Jets are last in everything. You know what's funny, though? Last year, when the Eagles were just struggling like they are this year, but, I mean, just the offense was banged up like they are this year, and they played the Jets, and they had a game where they had 10 sacks, scored 2 touchdowns on defense and all, but the game got done, and they won by, I don't know, 17 points or something. And you were like, they still didn't look good. Like, that's how bad the Jets were. And that's how bad they are this year. So there is a way to beat the Jets, win it handily, never really be tested, and still not look good. And that's what you sort of want to guard against. Like, it's a bad team. Go put them away. They don't want to win. They're not playing to win. I don't think teams tank, but, you know, where players on the field say, we don't want to win the game. But, I mean, this team, they're going to start even more of a fire sale. I don't know what they're going to be doing. I don't see how that team is winning a game this year. So the Bills should pound them. But, you know, for a little bit of confidence, like I'm saying a lot of words. I didn't see confidence on either side of the ball last night, and that's what concerns me. Get a little bit of that back against the Jets. Go beat Cam and the Patriots. And then I think you can get some of that back.
Yeah, that's it, right? It's the Patriots, Mike. I mean, you know, we went into this 4-game stretch when the Bills started the season 2-0 and said, all right, what can we live with? If you're a Bills fan, you're hoping for 3-1 and having that one loss be probably against the Chiefs. You end up 2-2, which you're still in first place. You're still a game up on the Dolphins of all teams. But, you know, it's going to come down, as we thought it would, to that New England matchup. And boy, to see New England lose the way they did to Denver at home, well, lets you believe that this might not be the same New England team that you've gotten beat up by for so many years now.
Yeah, you're right. And it might end up being, depending on what we get out of Tua, that the Dolphins are your real competition in the division.
Sure.
You know, I guess we'll find that out, you know, when he gets to play in almost 2 weeks. But, yeah, I mean, that's a strange one for the Patriots to lose, right? Even in the past, like, we've seen that team, you know, with, even if Brady wasn't great, they always find a way to win those kind of games. I will say they can normally run the ball decently, and they've seen what the Bills have done in run defense. So that's, I'm assuming, the way they would attack the Bills when they play in that game. But let's be honest, Cam and the Patriots are not the Chiefs, and they're not the Titans at the moment. So that will help a little bit. Like I said, the sky has not fallen, but if you're not a bit concerned after what you've seen the last 2 weeks, I just think you're looking at it with Bill's colored glasses and not seeing what's out there. Can they fix it? Yeah, some of the stuff can be fixed. Certainly the offense can come back. They've got talent on that offense. Defensively, some of it is scheme. Some of it is effort. Some of it is getting guys healthier again. But I still think it's going to be manage the defense and win with offense for this team.
Mike, I got to say, I think the Bills caught a break with the decision down in Miami. I was a little surprised by the timing of this. I mean, they're winning games. There's a third wild card. Why make this move now? Did that come from high above? And maybe Tagovailoa is ready here, but I do know this. Ryan Fitzpatrick probably playing his best football in years. Maybe that one year with the Jets, the one little flash with the Buffalo Bills, but Fitzpatrick was playing pretty well.
Yeah, I'm surprised. You know, it is the bye week, so unless that was the plan all along, is that after the bye week he was going to play. I mean, it is kind of comical. I'm reading people saying things like, well, you know, he looked like he belonged in the five plays he went out there against the Jets. I mean, come on. You know, he got chased on a third down. Like, the kid is talented. I'm sure he looks pretty good in practice. It does. I was trying to think of what it reminded me of, and you go way back. You know, the Giants were about a 500 team, and they had Kurt Warner at quarterback, and they had drafted Eli. Yeah. That was later in the season. And I think they played Eli the rest of the way, and the Giants ended up, I think they might have lost every game or almost every game the rest of the way. But obviously getting Eli on the field was a good thing. Warner ended up going to the Cardinals and went to a Super Bowl, but it was sort of like, why are you making this move now? You're still in it. But hey, we've seen some of these other young guys. I mean, you know, Burrow has been really good, and you know, look at the kid in with the Chargers, and maybe they're just feeling like they're kind of try to get out of fits before he fitses like he normally does.
I mean, that's
does
the thing, Mike. I mean, that's why the move doesn't surprise me at all. Well, one, you invested a first round draft in this kid, and you're going to get him some reps so that he can get better and learn from mistakes that he's going to make. But at some point, the carriage turns back into a pumpkin, and Fitz is left alone with one slipper in his hand. I mean, you got to get that guy out of there at some point.
Right. And, you know, I mean, Tua did look like a special talent at Alabama, and they are watching him every day. That would be my guess, you know. It's like you hear the stories about Mahomes when he was in Kansas City. Like, they let him sit, but they were like, wait till this kid plays. I don't know if that's the way it's been in Miami. We could be saying all that, and you're right, Gene. It could be just the owner says, I drafted this kid. I want him out there on the field. But I would think that Miami thinks their team now has gotten some rhythm, and they think they can plug him in and play. It's going to be fun to watch, and it's certainly, as much as we love Fitz, it certainly is going to be more interesting in a way to see if this kid is something, because if he is something, you know, there's your rival in the division with the Jets imploding, unless the Jets end up with Lawrence, and then, you know, and then they got the whole other thing starting again next year. So it's going to be fun to see, but I'm a little surprised at the timing too.
Are you surprised what you're seeing in New England? Are we too soon to write this team off, Mike? I mean, that those wide receivers not getting open, that team losing to Denver, a pedestrian Broncos offense that can't even punch it in the end zone, and that's a loss. I mean, is this the end for the Patriots?
I don't know. I would say they surprise you. Like, I watched them play you know, you watch them play that Kansas City game and you're like, my God, if it wasn't for the quarterback, that defense still looked good. They were running the ball pretty well. And then, you know, it was Brian Hoyer that time. And they've had their, all their COVID issues have caused them problems and everything. I don't know if you can say they're done. I don't know. I'll tell you this, no matter what they do a week from Sunday when the Bills play them, it's going to be hard to pick the Bills to beat the Patriots just because it is Belichick on the sidelines. And we've seen it time after time after time. The Bills are a better team than New England. They certainly have a better roster, but there's no guarantees when you're playing against that team. I think they're on the edge. I think the Cam thing is going to be too up and down for New England to make any commitment after this year that they'll go after somebody else. But, yeah, I won't say they're dead, but it really does not look good for them.
He's 13 Web Sports Director Mike Catalana joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Mike, what are you and the crew working at BuffaloPlus.com for this week leading up to the Jets on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff, including what Sean McDermott was saying today. Plus, I did my 10 observations from the game, including the Bills kicking. You know, good and really bad. It's an odd thing with that kid as the kicker. And we got plenty of content up there. Any chance you get to go to Buffalo Plus or the YouTube page, which has gone really well. I would love to put the Eagles injury list on there, but we don't have enough space on the site to put it up there at the moment. By the way, can I at least throw that in there with Carson Wentz? Yeah. I mean, it's absurd the amount of injuries. They will take the field Thursday. It's he and the center, Kelsey. That's it. They're third string. Oh, maybe Lane Johnson plays. They've been talking about that. We're talking third string linemen. They've lost both tight ends. They've lost two guards, two tackles. I don't know the players they're putting out there on the field, let alone that. And they still might beat the Giants on Thursday night.
You worried about the Wentz wagon there, Mike? I saw a little bit of Wentz play in that earlier this season, and I thought to myself, you know what? He's missing guys. I know he's throwing to a bunch of slappies, but you know his accuracy doesn't look all there. I mean, is there a reason to be concerned that? And I know Philly Sports Talk Radio loves this topic, but is there a reason to be concerned with Wentz?
He's converted. I would say you got to be like the dumb fan who didn't see him Sunday against Baltimore. It depending on the lens you look at it, he might have been the most impressive quarterback in the league Sunday against the Baltimore. Look, he's played Pittsburgh and Baltimore the last 2 weeks with all backup linemen. And like I said, injuries, I mean, they're playing practice squad guys, the guy they as wide receivers. Jason Kroom caught a touchdown pass. And he scored 28 and 29 points against the Steelers and the Ravens in those two games, and could have won both of them. He had, over those two games, he had three obvious touchdowns dropped in those games. Maybe he's just the kind of guy that just excels when all is failing around him, because he did it at the end of last year. But he is the least of any of their issues with everything else that's gone on. So the Ginger General is on his way back. Just get him some help, and I think he'll be fine.
All right.
How you liking Nikki?
Nikki Franchise, born leader. Love him. All in.
Yeah,
Super Bowl MVP.
For that team.
Says all the right things. Yeah, look, what do I think of Nikki? Nikki Franchise, yeah, he's got a good defense. That's what he has.
He plays great. They play great defense, and he'll do just enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I love Foles. I mean, he's not great, but your team's defense is good enough, they're going to be a problem for everybody they play this year.
I still think at 5-1 that they might be the biggest frauds at 5-1. But, you know, they play the Rams on Monday night. That'll be a good test for the Bears. We'll see how they look.
Yep, we will see. And we'll see how the Bills do. But, yeah, this week has got to be blow out the Jets, move on, and then try to get healthy, get some people back, get Milano back, get Feliciano back, you know, and then see where you go from there.
Mike, you're the best. Appreciate it. Let's do this again sometime.
All right, fellas.
You
good talking with you.
13 Web Sports Director Mike Catalana joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
I knew that Wentz love would come in. You know, he is right, though. That second half against the Ravens, that looked like the Carson Wentz we fell in love with.
He's making magic. Yeah. I mean, He doesn't have anybody around him. No. It's just him. Let's get to NFL appetizers next. We serve up today's top stories in bite-sized form. News and notes from around the NFL. On the way next in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.